Okay, so we're talking about media today. Like, the evil media. Okay. So, this is the agenda. We're going to go through each part of this. We're going to also, like, by the way, show you how to get into the webcam and stuff, yeah?
Webcam?
Yeah, we got into that last time. Very easy. So number one is make sure when you're doing media, you have to have a thing called data. That's the folder, the same place that you have your code, okay? So we have to make sure, like, you put all your images in a data folder. And as long as it's called data, like, processing will automatically look there. So, is that clear? So you have to have a thing called data wherever your code lives, and then you put all your images or videos or whatever, everything in data. So that's how processing operates. So it kind of automatically looks there. So here's the first thing we'll do. So let's start doing this is so easy. I don't know if we need to do live coding for this. I think this one I'm just gonna show you the code because, I mean, it's really easy. Oh, hold on. Let me get the images. Sorry, guys. You're gonna look into my computer here. So you see how it's arranged? It's got the code right here, and it has a data folder. Oh. Damn it, I have to zip that up. Okay. So, in the data, so I'm just going to download this real fast, but the data has all those images stuck in it. So, this code I'm just going to kind of show you because it's very simple. I'll just show you kind of line by line, and then we can do more stuff later. But basically, what you have to do is you have to put these images in this folder. You guys don't have this data, right? Yeah, so if you want to follow along, I'll put it in the Slack. I'll put it there anyways. I'm not sure if you want to follow along, but if you want to, you can. Okay, so this is the data. So this is just the images. Okay, and then the code, I think I can just give you the final. And we're going to walk through and see what the code does. And our exercise is not to rewrite the code from scratch, but to change it to whatever you like. Because most of the time, that will be what happens. Kind of, you get code that you want to incorporate, and then you change it. So you need those two pieces of thing. And we're not going to spend too much time on this particular thing either, because this is, like, seriously pretty easy. So you guys can... So why don't you guys go ahead and download those two items. And once you get them, you can extract them. And remember, after you extract them, you have to take this data folder and you cut and paste into here, which is where the code lives. Can everybody see that? So this is better. So you notice I have I had the zip file, right? So I unzipped it, and then it's got data in it, which is this. And then basically what I did, I just copy and pasted that, or cut and paste that data folder into here. And now everything in data will be, you know, you can read via processing. So this is what the files look like right now. Basically we're just going to do an animated GIF from scratch, using just P image, basically. Okay, so this code is pretty simple, so I'm just going to show you how it works. Does everybody have the files? Yes, cool. So this is what the file looks like. So I'm just going to go through each piece of this. So basically, there's a Boolean. So there's basically a couple of image arrays, okay? So actually, let me just play it so that you can get a sense of what it's doing first. Okay, so there's a background, and then this guy is kind of walking, right? And this walk is basically corresponding to this images. So for example, 0 is this one, and then it's this one, and then it's this one. You see that? So it's literally just displaying them one at a time. But they can face either one or two directions. Like they're going to face left or they're going to face right. So that's what the Boolean is for. Okay, so you guys understand this now. So let me just show you. So in the PM, there's a images one, there's images two. So one that's basically looking at all the... So you notice how there's 10 of these facing left, and then there's 10 facing right, right? So it's literally putting them into this P image array, right? So this is what we learned last time, it's the for loop. You go through each one of the arrays and you load the name of this file, right? So you notice that the file names are kind of designed to be like, you know, 0, 1, 2, etc. to be the left ones. And then F2, F1, F2, blah, 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 to be the right ones, right? So in this code, it does kind of the same thing. Do you understand this one? So in the code, it does the same load image, you know, 1.jpg, 2.jpg, 3.jpg, puts everything in there first, okay? So this is all it does. So you just declare two arrays, holding on to all the images. So the point is now you can do everything yourself. You don't have to be like doing libraries and stuff. And then the first thing in the setup is to actually load these images. So once you have the images, then you also want to set a frame rate so that you know how to like how fast to go. Like so, for example, if you do let's do something obvious like 50. Okay, so do 50. You go super fast, right? Because I'm going, right? So this controls the frame rate function, controls how fast you're going. You want to go slow, like let's say 3. Wait, what do we have before? 10, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, like 4, let's say. That's probably slow enough. So you're going to go like slowly. So obviously you can change this during the progress too. Like for example, you know, if you guys, one of you want to write something that does, depending on where your mouse is, if it's on the left, it goes fast. Do you know how you would write that? I'm not going to do that right now, but clear, right? You're just going to, you know, basically there's code that, you know, that it's basically just this thing times mouse X or whatever, basically, right? But you have to map it correctly. So you map that back to the range that you want. Do I have to do this, or do you think? For some of you, it's very clear. Here, I'm going to write the pseudo code, but you guys can go home and whatever. But basically, you want the actual frame rate, right? So right now, it's like 4 or 10 or whatever. So I'm going to just write that frame rate. So right now, if I do the same thing I did, it would be this, right? I guess we can do it real fast. It's always like this. I end up actually doing it. So this is the current frame rate, right? But what you can do is now you can basically, instead of the 10, you can now just have it use the map function. You're going to map mouse X because that's where you are. That's changing the frame rate, right? So where does mouse X go from what to what? Anybody? Right. So the easy way is to just width. Because you don't know what the width is, you can just put that. And then what's the frame rate you want to go from what to what? So something like, say, 3 to 50 or something. You know, whatever you want, right? So it's whatever you want. And now that's the new frame rate. Right? Doesn't like print, so you're going to use float, okay? Sorry, float, but same idea. Okay, so then when you run it, when your mouse is here, oh, why is it not taking my mouse X? Okay, hold on. I'm going to do print line and see what's the deal. Okay. Oh, it's not changing. Okay, so let's see why that is. Let's see what my mouse X is being. Ah, mouse X is not being read. That's weird. Anybody? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much, guys. Thank you. So, let us put it. I think we can put it at the end, but let's see. Actually, no, let's put it at the beginning, because that's where you want to. But good job. Good job. Because now you guys are like debugging like masters. You can see like, boom, why is my thing not changing? Therefore, I must be in the setup instead of the draw. Okay. So now, let's see what happens. The frame rate. You see that slowing down, going faster, faster. Ah! Slowing down, slow down. I need to go slower. Sorry, guys. I need to go down to, like, one. Alright. So, boom, 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 boom. Okay. Are you guys having as much fun as I am?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, that was fast. Go ahead. I'll let you copy now. Is anybody not clear? I keep doing stuff that I'm not supposed to be doing, but I feel like this is, you know, if I'm going to say something, might as well do it. Is it, do you get it? Yeah. You're just changing the speed, and you have to change it in the draw. And the map says you're mapping from the mouse position, which goes from zero to the width of the canvas, to the actual frame rate that you want, which is right now 1 to 50, but whatever you want, right? Pretty clear. Okay.
So to make those images, it's made up of all these images that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Where would we get stuff like that?
Just download it.
Download the individual images?
You can download individual images, or you could do like, you Google like, you know, animation frames, you know what, you know. Yeah. Yeah, you can do whatever. Exactly. You can do whatever sequence you want. Like, for example, you could do a time-lapse photography and display that if you want. Yeah, that'll be fun. And actually, using this, I basically tell you guys how to do one variation of changing this, but you can imagine receiving input and going backwards, for example, right? If there's a mouse press, go the other way or something like that, right? Actually, I think it does something like that. Let me see. So this is kind of understood, right? You're just setting up the images, right? Nobody has a problem with this. Okay, so in a draw, you can actually basically load one of two different... I mean, this is a little bit hard to understand, but basically this modular function basically just... It just goes up to 10, and you get 10, it goes back to 0. It goes kind of a, it's a remainder operation. So, like 11 modulo 10 is like 1. You don't really have to worry about it. I think it's, you know, we can talk later. It's a remainder operation. It's how you go back and do 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 9 again. Because, so basically it goes to 0 to 9, and then after 9 it goes back to 0. Because remember the image is only 0 to 9, so it will keep looping through 0 to 9. So this modular operation allows you to loop under 10. I see confusion here, but I think this is something I can address more individually, I think, easily. So, okay. There's always something to explain. So this modular, right? I think this is probably the only thing that doesn't make sense.
Thank you. See you guys. If there's anything. Yeah. it's kind of a range, and make sure you constrain the range. So say you have a number, you know, int, you know, p equals to like 1 or something, right? And then you say 1 modulo 5, for example. Say you want to constrain between 0 and 4, this will give you 1, okay? Because it takes the remainder of the operation, and when you basically, when you do the division, it's still remaining, it's like 0 remainder 1. But if you put it in 6, and you do 6 modulo 5, does anybody know the answer?
1 remainder
1? Yeah, it's also 1. Because if you take 6 divided by 5, that's 1, but there's a 1 remainder. So what's 5 modulo 5, is it? Exactly. What about 0 modulo 5? Exactly. So you get the point. So basically, as you're going up from 0 to like, you know, 100, it will go 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, which is exactly what your animation has to do, right? And your animation has to do, you know, 0 to 9, and then 0 to 9, and then 0 to 9, etc. So this is like a shortcut to writing this kind of thing. Once you use it a couple of times, it'll be clear. I mean, yeah, it's just telling you which one to use. So it'll just say basically add one, so you go to the next one, and then you modulate the 10 to go back to, exactly. So if you're at 8, you get to 9. That's it. If you're 9, you go back to 0, because you modulate the 10. Oh, sorry, when you're at 10, you go back to 0, because you modulate back to 0. Yeah. So that's, it's actually really useful, because instead of doing this, you could write this. So instead of doing this, you could also do this, right? You can say, if p is greater than 5, p set equals to 0, right? You don't have to do the modulo.
Okay.
Yeah. But this is a shortcut. Yeah, so you do the p plus plus, whatever, and then if p is greater than that number, you go back.
So,
yeah, yeah. So, anyway, any code that I show you, I do want to make sure you have this. Yeah. Yeah, if p is greater than 5, p equals 0. Exactly. And this is the same thing. So, it's just a remainder operation. So basically, it's just saying, like, you know, and if it's, and then just make sure you go into the right away. So this is the first set of rays, which are facing left. And then this one is the second set of rays, which are facing right. And make sure you're putting in the right position. So you're just putting in sort of center, slightly off center. You know? And then, yeah, I think, what is that one? That is the... If x position greater than... Okay, well, let me... I'm not sure what this is yet, but if you press the key, actually, left and right, you can actually switch the positions. So, basically, it just switches the... When you press the key, it will switch that Boolean. That's the most important thing. So that you can actually go... okay, let me put it somewhere where it's actually running. And then when I press the right key, it goes right. When I switch the left key, it goes left. So that's the press key parameter. It just switches between the image 1 and image 2. Yeah. And then the other thing with the X position is just, basically it's just instead of putting on the other side, it puts it back into the right place. It's not a big deal. The main thing to understand is just that it has two different arrays, and they each have the 0 to 9, but different file names. And then, basically, when you press the key, it just switches between those two by switching this Boolean. So in your text adventure game, you always want to do stuff like this, where there's a Boolean that's keeping track, or a number that's keeping track what level you're in, or which way you're facing, and things like that, within some other function. And then in your main function, you test that. So if I'm facing left, then I show this one. If I'm facing right, I show the other one, basically.
Oh, so they need them to do the exact same thing, but they add a different text, which is why the second one is...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and the image one is basically, images one is facing left, and the images two is facing right, basically. So you literally just, so this is like the programming paradigm you should all try to emulate, is you basically at the beginning of all everything, you just full force load everything. So all your images from Text Adventure, you load everything in the beginning in a big ass for loop. Everything. And then once you have it in an array, or many arrays, you go and display the one you want in the draw function. Yeah. So I know some of you haven't gotten super far with the Text Adventure. At the very end, I can give you a tutorial how to start it, just in case, you know. But you know, once everybody else can go. But you know what I'm saying? So at the beginning, you want a big for loop that loads everything that you want. Text, fonts, images, audio, whatever you want. And then in the draw, all you have to say is, like, if I'm in this stage or I'm in this particular configuration or the user sets up such a thing, I'm just going to switch into the drawing just that one. So this is the same basic principle. Any question about this demo? I think it's pretty clear, right? Is it okay? Yeah, there's a lot of code here, but it's very simple. Like, it's a very simple concept. You just have two P image arrays. That's basically it. And you're just storing all your images in them, and then depending on user pressing on the keyboard, you switch between them. That's all. Very, very basic. So now you guys can use this code and write your own kind of GIF displayer, right? Like, you guys can all, you know, so I expect to see... No, not really. You don't have to use it in your Text Adventure, but you could. You could. It's something you can easily do. Okay?
I have a question.
Yeah.
Where does it define the X position? Like, where is the Y X position? Where?
You're talking about this one, right?
No. So, when you deploy the middle character.
This one?
Yeah.
So the X position is just basically, so I think what you should do is actually write some number here, you know, like, I would write something like that, or whatever you want, I guess it's like 640 or something, but I think what they do is they do it in the draw. Yeah, but you're totally right, you should be doing that in here, so let me see if this will work. Let's just make sure.
I don't know.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
no. Let me see. I guess it's starting at zero, I guess. Let me see. Yeah, so it's starting at a zero. So, it's one of those things with processing. Even if you don't initialize it, it will initialize it for you, but it's really bad. Like, when you guys are picking open frameworks, it's not going to work. So I think in this case, it's actually good the way I have it now. Like, you want to indicate, like, you want to initialize all your variables, even if it doesn't have any meaning. So in this case, I think what's happening is it's initializing it to zero, and then here it's basically placing, you know, so it's placing the image on this particular location, and then if the X position is not good, it basically puts it, you know, it kind of flips it around when you do the left and right movement as well. And then when you keep holding the key, it will keep moving the X position. So I'm sorry I didn't show you that earlier. But if you keep holding left, it's going to go slowly. Well, I should go slowly left. Oh, there you go. You have to press it over and over. Oh, because it's not key hold. It's like key press. Yeah, so you have to keep pressing it. Sorry. Yeah. Yeah. It's just the current X position. Sorry. Yeah. But you have to keep... I mean, I would have done it so that when you hold it down, it just... Oh, it works now. Okay. It works. So this is also the modular. You see that one? Or not the modular, but the this line right here, if it's less than 640, it goes back to the other side. So this is the kind of, yeah. And then it depends on the frame rate. So if I go like here, it's only drawing every few. And then if I go here, it's going to draw like everything. Yeah.
Wait, what's the difference? How can you...
Huh?
How can you do this very fast?
Yeah, no, I just moved the mouse. I just moved the mouse. Yeah, this is the pew, 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 pew. This is the jumping. You see that? Boom, boom, boom. Hey, this is cool. I like this one. And then, okay. Yeah, so when you hold down the key, it basically just changes the X position in the right position. And then it updates it. So when you actually draw, you're using the X position right here. Right? And then similarly, when you go outside the frame, it just resets it back to the other side. So that's what the X position is. And then initially you want to set it to be something like zero, so that you're starting some place that makes sense. So I think this is the whole code then in that case. Pretty much understandable. Yeah. The exposition thing is not a big deal if you don't understand every bit of it. The main thing is just putting all your images in the array and being able to display it. Understood? Anybody? Zihan, do you understand it? Pretty much? Yeah. Okay. I'm going to go a little bit fast today, but it'll be fine. So, if we did the code, and this is what we see, right? You're going to... So first of all, you can actually make an image, load an image, or just draw the image. Like we said before, key image is a class. We'll go over what classes are tomorrow and the day after. And you have functions like load image, which is designed to basically load an image into that class. So this is similar with fonts as well. So we probably haven't done this, so I'm going to use that to do fonts. How about we just do it on here? Yeah, we'll do fonts on the same thing. Yeah, because you guys can work more with this code. So everybody has this code, no problem, right? You guys can run it and it'll work, right? Okay, so now we're going to add on to it. This is an experiment, but we're just going to put some fonts in it, right? So we'll do basically this. Okay, so hopefully you can follow me along. Follow me. Okay. So after the images, I'm going to do the P font, right? So first you declare it. And then whenever you declare something, just like from above, you make sure in the setup that you're initializing it to something. So font equals load font. And so the font you have to kind of find online. So I think some of you might have done this already, haven't you? Yeah, I feel like some of you... Is this... Do you guys want me to do this, by the way? Is this... Okay, yeah, some of you haven't done it. Okay, so... Low doesn't work? I'm going to do the thing that you think doesn't work, because, you know, that way we can tell. So... Okay. So let's just try it, okay? So let's just find a favorite font. By the way, a good place to write fonts. I don't know if you guys know, but Google Fonts, obviously, right? So what's your favorite font for someone moving in the... How about comic stuff? Like... Collector comic, yeah, that's kind of, I'm just going to go for that. So, let's see. Oh, we have to go in here. So we just, you have to pay for this? fuck this. How about like free fonts? I can't believe you have the picture.
Can you have a better paper Google? Go back to the phone screen.
Here?
No, that's another page. What? Why
is it
different? Okay, put the plus sign.
Oh, it's here.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll do Roboto, I guess. And it's fine. So then you go into here, and then you just download Roboto. So we'll put it anywhere. We'll put it in data, because remember, we have to have everything in data. Right? Okay, so... Yeah, so I downloaded Roboto. You can download whatever font you want. And then I'm going to just extract it. Okay, there's a bunch of different Roboto-like fonts. And then let's just use the Roboto regular, which looks like this. So I'm going to copy this into here. Yeah, it's okay. We'll do that. And then now we're going to follow this example, right? We're going to do the following, which is load font. What is it? Sorry. This guy, Roboto regular. Okay. And then just to see how it works in the draw function, I'll put it at the end because it will be writing after everything else. Then do text font, font. And then I guess the size, I don't remember what the size ranges are. Like, 10? I don't know. I don't know. So the key is that after you text the font, so which tells you which font to use, now you actually put the, you know. So I'll just say like, cool running. Okay. And then I'll put it in, I don't know, let's say 20, 40 or something. We can change that later. Okay? So every time we're going to make it size 10 font. I don't know if that's the right size. I'm just putting something there. Of the Roboto in some particular position.
10, 40 position? Huh? 10, 40
position? Yeah, yeah. It's X pause, Y pause. Okay. You guys are right about this low font thing, huh? Is that, do you think that's a change from a...
Well, so apparently you can only use, what is it?
Low font versus great font. Low
font is only for a certain file type, and like CTF, you need to use great font. Yeah. I know, yeah.
I see. It loads a VLW format. You're right. So the create font loads a TTF. So we're having a TTF. So you guys are exactly right. So it's because it's the type of font. Okay. Is it okay so far? So like if you have a VLW file, then you use load font. If you use a different type of file, you use create font. What's that now? It wants a size, I think. So let's just say 32. Do you still need the text font? Let's see. Okay, so you don't need the size on the text font. I mean, unfortunately, it's just processing different functions are different things. In this case, you don't do the size in this text font. Like, you know, this is kind of a stupid thing, but... So now you can see Cool Runnings. I want it to be black, presumably. So let's do... I guess you could do fill. So before the text, we can actually do fill 0, which would give you the black, and then afterwards go back to actually, we don't care about this because there's no painting of anything with background. So, anybody get that? Do I need to wait a little bit?
I just don't know where you put it.
Okay. So let me go back to here. So I put the font into data folder. And then I did the following. I did the font equals create font and whatever font name you have. And hopefully you guys got a TTF or OTF file. You did? Okay, if it's from Google Fonts, it'll be that.
What's that 30?
Size. Yeah, so we can do 64. Okay, never mind. Just do 32. It's going to be changing it all the time. So 32. So whenever you create something, oh, by the way, we declare the font as well, right? So you have to declare the font. And then you have to say initialize the font. So let me write this all down. So this is declaration. And then this is initialization. So for all the variables, you have to kind of do that. You have to declare it. And then initialize it. And then in the draw function, so now you have a font that works, basically. You have an object that can be used to draw stuff. Then, in the draw function, you actually use it, basically. So first, you set the font. This is like setting the font. Like, this means every other text I'm going to write from now on will be from this font, basically. And then I set the color, okay? I set the color of the font. I could also do this in setup, right? Because I'm not drawing anything else that's color. But if I was, I have to afterwards return it back to the color that I had before. Okay, if I was drawing other stuff. And then I just text, I just use the text function to draw it at x equals 20, y equals 40. Why is it x 20 equals 20, y equals 40? It's because it's measuring it from the bottom of the letter, right? So the 40 is how far down you need to go. You're going a little bit farther than where you're going in the X. No? So 40 means the lower right corner of your first character is 40. That's why, like, so say if I did 20, right? It wouldn't look right. So let me get out. So if I did 20, you see that? This is 2020, so it doesn't look, you see what I'm saying? It's failing to account for the size of the font. So I'm just eyeballing it. I'm just saying like, okay, give me an extra bit. So I'm going to do 40. Should probably be 52, but you know, whatever. So that gives me enough of a room to work on the font. We're all good? Who got it? What about you guys? Did you get it? Good. Ming, did you get it? It's fine. We can look at it.
Missing a smash one over there. Yeah, you need a smash one. No, smash. So you just add all your statements to smash. Wow, the computer is wait, there's an issue. So. Can you see if it's in your data folder? No, it's not in your data. So you have to take it out and put that font in just the data folder, not in the. Yeah, exactly. You have to put it on that folder, yeah. No, Yeah, it has to be that one. Yeah. And that particular name has to be right as well. There you go. Nice. Oh, that's a nice topic, this one. Yeah. And so you probably want to change the Y at all, because it's getting cut off. But nice. Okay, so you guys can all put text on the screen, can do animations on screen. Awesome. Okay, so now let's keep going. So this is all about fonts. It's pretty simple. We're making really good progress today. We're only at 40 minutes past the hour. Let's keep going. Yeah, so this is based on what font type that you want to use. We already kind of talked about this. So this is what we already did, actually. We were going to light code it, but I just wanted to show you the code. It's because it's very simple. Okay, so the next thing that I show you is really important, because some of you are kind of trying to do this, and it's to do the right kind of transformation of where to put your thing. So basically, the idea is the following. Like, you, when you draw something on the screen, you need to go to the right place to draw it a lot of times, right? Because you don't want to say, like, draw 50-50 all the time. You want to kind of say, like, go to 50-50 and then draw it. Because then everything else you draw in relation to that can be in the local coordinates. I'm going to do it very simply for this, okay? I'm going to do a not this demo, but kind of a quick live coding thing. So open up your processing. Yeah, just a new file. It's kind of a temporary thing. So we're going to do this void setup, and then void draw, okay? And we're just going to do something very simple, right? So I just want to draw a rectangle. So can anybody help me? What I do? So basically wherever you want to go, right? Right? So let's say we want to draw, say our canvas is 800 by 800, okay? And I want to draw something in the middle, right? So one thing you can do is you could do the calculation yourself, right? Right, so you know it's 800, 800, so you have to be at 400, 400 as the center, but then you have to
calculate how big.
Exactly. Right. So if I did 400, and then the width, that's next two is the width, right? Oh no, the next two is the, is it upper left, upper lower right? I forgot. Sorry. Let me go here. Yeah. So it's X, Y, and then width, height, right? So, I don't know, let's do 200. So if I did this, this the rectangle is not really in the place I intended, because I want it to be kind of right in the smack of middle. So I have to kind of, I have to kind of translate it back and do the calculation on my own head, right? So in this case, what do I need to do? Can somebody tell me?
Okay, you're going to have to do the 300 by 300.
Exactly. Yeah. So I would have to do it myself, locally, right?
Yeah.
But another thing you can do is you can just do translate. So let me just blur this out. You can just do translate. We're going to translate to 400, 400. I think that's the syntax. Let me make sure. Yep, that's the. So we're gonna, in other words, we're gonna first go to 400, 400, right? And then at 400, 400, what do I do now?
You like
Excuse me?
Do you set this as a sensor or something? Or you just say like rectangle sensor? Can you do that? Can you place like the center of something in the center of something else?
What do you want me to write though? Like,
oh, I don't know. I just thought that that's how you could do it. Like, you could define like rect center of the rectangle.
Oh, I don't know if we go over that. Oh, recmo center?
Yeah.
Is this what you mean?
Yeah, but not because I've seen that in a lot of.
I think the recmo center does something more subtle, but let me see. Processing rect mode. See what it says. Ah, I see what you mean. That's a good call. So basically, recmo center is you specify, instead of specifying the x, y of the upper left, you specify the x, y of the center of it. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you could do that. Yep, let's do that then. So you could do that, or you could do minus 100, minus 100. I see why one would do that. So because you're already translated to the middle, right? Okay, so you do recmo center, which now says I'm going to specify my rectangle as the middle point, in which case you just do 0, 0. Like, you don't have to think about it, I guess. And then your width is the same. Width and height are the same. So this should give me the same thing, right? There you go. So this is two equivalent ways of writing the same thing. Everybody understand that? So the translate basically you have a coordinate system, right? And the translate says go to wherever you need to go to and then do your calculations from there.
So like it's a 400 center and
that's
the rectangle.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, if you, instead of the recmo center, I just want to, I don't know if it's confusing people, but if I don't do the recmo center, I will draw with 400, 400 as my upper left. You see what I'm saying? So,
okay.
So if I draw this, it will, this is 400, 400 right here. Right here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does that like apply to everything under it, or does it only apply to
So this is what we're going to go over today. But basically, you do push and pop matrices in order to isolate just that part of it.
Okay.
Yeah. But everybody understand this, though? It's the translate is allowing you to go to the place you want to be, and then you draw based on the local coordinates. Yeah. So that's why this code is the same as the code on the bottom here. Cool. So, not too hard. So this is what translate does. It just moves your coordinates into the local coordinates, okay? And again, the advantage is that your code, you don't have to think about where you need, like you don't have to think about the 300, 300, 200 and do the calculation, because once the width of your screen changes, somebody wants to have a bigger screen, you have to redo all the calculations, right? But now, it doesn't really have to redo the calculation because it's always 0, 0. So, like, so here. So I'm at like 1,000, 1,000. Let's just make sure, right? Then I would have to change this to be like, you know, width over 2, right? So this is what you should do, actually. You see what I'm saying? So you always just go there, but then after that, the rectangle doesn't change. See? Doesn't depend on the size of your screen. Yeah. But this code is not going to work now. The other code. Because the other code is going to, you know, you have to redo all your calculations again. This code is going to put it, you know, like you just have to redo the whole thing. Right? Okay, so hopefully everybody can see the advantage of doing the translate. And translate just itself is not even that helpful yet, but once you put in more stuff, like rotation, it will be even more helpful. So this is what I just talked about. You move to the origin point, and then you draw your rectangle at the origin point. Alright. And then rotate actually does a similar thing, except it does the rotation. Right? So, so we can just show you. I think it's in degrees, right? Oh no, it's in radians. Okay. So, you know, just in the translating, we can also rotate. So we're at the center of the coordinate. So you want to rotate 45 degrees, so which is what, pi over 4? Is that right? Because pi over 2 is 90, pi over 4 is 45. I mean, I'm just doing one thing. Because if you rotate by 90, it would just be another square. Okay, so, oh, it doesn't know pi? Oh, okay. Thanks, guys. You know processing better than me. I just speak other languages. Okay, so you see that? So, can everybody follow along what I did? So I translated to the middle, and then once in the middle, I'm going to rotate, right? Because notice, what happened? Okay, actually, here's a question for you. What if I did the rotation, then translate? What if I did that? Yeah, but what's the answer? Like, here, let's run it. You see that? Do you see how it's happening?
Zero, zero. Okay.
So if you did the rotation first, it rotates the entire coordinate by 45 degrees. So now when you're going, in this case 400, 400, it's going in the new coordinate 400, 400.
But
it's not going in
there.
It does, because you rotate, so you're here, right? You can translate, and then you rotate, and then you draw, right? So in the other case, you rotate, I don't know if I'm going in the right direction, but you rotate, and then you translate in this new coordinate, so it would be 400, 400. Yeah, actually, you rotate this one, and then you go 400, 400. Okay, there. Let me do it for you. Okay. The first situation you understand, right?
Well, the first situation is everything first.
You translate, and then you rotate, and then you draw.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. The other situation, you rotate your entire coordinate system. You translate 400, 400.
So that's the translation first.
Then you draw.
Okay.
You rotate first, then you draw.
Yeah.
And then you translate.
Well, depending on what we want out of it.
Exactly. But so if you want to say, go here, rotate it, and draw it, you've got to put them in the right order. And so this is the ball, it's a different order. Are you okay? Is it kind of difficult? Is it okay? But the short answer is basically when you rotate first, then translate, it's not the same as translating and then rotating. So I'll do this one last time. I know this is really stupid. But in the new situation, I'm rotating it clockwise 45 degrees. And then I say go 400, 400, right? So instead of going 400, 400, I'm going to go 400, 400, which is down here. And then I draw the square. So that's why it's down there. It's cool, right? It's different, right? Cool. So the answer is you gotta put them in the right order. Say that again.
If you just put rectangle and mode in rectangle alone, all day,
yeah.
Are all the rectangles over the top of it, or are all the ones in the middle?
You want me to show you?
No, that's fine. I'm just going to share. Oh.
Because you draw it on the
original quartz. Okay, let me save this. Okay, let's keep going. We're making great time today. Maybe you guys can get out at 5. Oh wait, it's 5. So everybody understands rotate. It's just rotating coordinate system. It's doing it in radians, which means everybody knows radians versus degrees. Does anybody not understand pi and?
You can do it either with pi or radians.
By default, it does radians, yeah.
Okay.
So just to make sure, as long as you know 180 is pi, you know, you'll be fine. You just every so 2 pi is 360, and
yeah.
Pi over 2 is 90, you know. Okay. So that's rotation. This is kind of what we're doing. We already did this. You can actually rotate. So I think John, you did this, right? You did the 3D. So you can actually rotate in 3D so that it has a kind of a 3D look, basically. So for example, you just have to put your P3D in the size parameter, and then you can rotate along some particular axis. If you're doing, and then you can make it look kind of like three-dimensional. And you can ask John, because he's done it. But fairly basic. So when you do the rotation in 3D now, you see that? It'll look like this, right? Because you're doing it in 3D. So where you're looking, the rectangle won't look the same, basically. Just experiment with it. You know, that's something you can just experiment with. You can also do scale. I realize a lot of you kind of try some of these already. So we can just do the quick scale thing. So we think that the rectangle is kind of like too small. We can scale it by 2, for example, very simple. So if we do this, it will be bigger. Right. So, yeah. And similarly, when you scale, like if you scale before translation, it's not going to, it's going to be something different, right? Like you have to do it in the right order. You translate it, rotate, scale. You could do rotate and scale reversibly in this particular case, but generally it's not the same. Yeah, actually we can, here, let me see what happens when you scale it. You see that? It just, because it's going off somewhere. It's just not the same. Okay. Basically, I mean, it's scaling the whole, all these functions are changing the entire canvas in some way.
Yeah.
But you are choosing to draw a particular shape on that canvas at the end. So really what's really happening in this code is like, you're literally just moving and then rotating and scaling. Your whole canvas becomes this new thing that's like this, and then you draw the rectangle.
Mm.
Yeah, in that new coordinate system.
Yeah. Is there a way to define it just to understand like
Yeah, so you do push and pull matrices.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the next part. Yeah. Yeah. So that's what scale is. Wow, we're making great time today. Can you guys? Yeah, that always happens. So, so this demo, just this particular thing, is just showing that basically you can make the rectangle, and we could do this. Let's do this. So, we're just gonna do a float r equals 0.0, okay? And then you're gonna scale it with that thing. And then every time you draw, you're just increasing that scale by a little bit. I know my computer is pretty fast. I'm going to go 0.01. Kind of depends on, you know, your processor. So when you do this, it's kind of going to slowly grow and get bigger and bigger. And then you know. So you can imagine your text adventure, right? You have a scene that's like, actually for you, Jason, this might work too, because you're doing the visualization of the sound, right? So now you can, like, initially, you know, like, you can have this kind of thing where you can, you know, suggesting you can choose to do it or not, but you know, but you can play around with it. You can play with it cinematically. And so I think the new thing that you're getting from this is that processing is asking you to specify your scene using math. That is kind of the new thing you guys can pick out of this. Like, instead of describing it to somebody saying, oh, I want a curtain moving this way, and then I want a row going this way, you're translating all those commands into math, and you have to be able to creatively create math, basically.
Yeah.
You have to speak the language of the machine that's doing the calculation. And so, but once you pick up some of these, like, how do I do this kind of thing, or how do I do other stuff, it will become easier and easier, because you'll be like, oh yeah, I can just, you know, if I want a bouncing ball, I just do minus that. Right? It's not super clear initially, but you will get kind of, you get the idea after a while. So the only real genuine piece of education, other than the social part is education too. Okay. Okay, soapbox moment over. So that's the scaling. And so the next part is kind of addressing Zena's question. What if you want to just do this for a particular part of your scene and not others, right? Right? So push matrix just stores the current coordinate. So it's kind of like, once I want to draw something else in this new coordinate, I do a push matrix, and then I do the translation and whatever, and then I pop. Okay? So the easiest way to show this is just to do the following. So, let's see. What's the best way to show this? Let's do it with the push matrix first, all right? So you're going to do push matrix, and then at the end of it, at the end of the draw, you're going to do pop matrix. Okay? So now everything within this section is kind of like local drawing of a rectangle, I guess. Right? We might have to stop it from growing for now. Let's change the scale back so it doesn't go crazy. Okay. Just gonna scale 2 for now. Okay. And then what you can do is just do a rect 0, 0, 200, 200 for kind of comparison. And I'm gonna do the fill here to be 0. And then go back to 126 or something. Started by doing 126. So I'm going to draw a gray and a black rectangle. Sorry, not. Wait, I don't want gray, do I? I want white, sorry. 255. So I'm going to draw two rectangles. One of them is black. That basically is just going to be at the top left of the screen. And then I'm going to draw another one that's based on the local coordinates of the push and pop. Okay. So let's see that. So this is the one I'm drawing initially. And then the white one is the one that we've been drawing. Okay. So now what happens if you put this guy inside...
There are two fills for it, though.
Huh?
There are two fills for it. The second one is
just going back to the... Here, I mean, maybe it's easier to kind of see this. So this second one is basically for this guy.
You see that? In the push matrix.
Yeah. Well, now I just move both in the push matrix.
Oh, okay.
I just so that you see it's a different... concept, right? So now I'm gonna do the with this tone, where's the black rectangle? That's my question. Right, so it would be where?
In the center.
Yeah, it would
be here. Right.
And it would be rotated. Yeah. Right, everything would be right in terms of, you know.
But there still is another block.
Oh, sorry, I need to change the size of this to. Oh, no, it's okay, there's a scale. Oh, wait, the scale applies to both. So it's a little bit more tricky than you think, but it's actually only going to be a black rectangle, a black triangle, or black diamond, right? Did anybody see that?
Yeah.
Because...
Can it erase this, whatever?
Yeah, because this is doing everything, so I'm literally drawing right on top of it. So, I guess to see this better, you put the 100 here. Okay. Does this one make sense for everybody? So now I'm drawing everything in the local coordinate system. So I'm going to translate into the rotation and do the scaling, everything. And I'm going to put it there, right? All right. The other thing you can see is that actually, let's go back to the same rectangle, okay?
So if you want to do kind of like a swirl effect, you can do it like that. And
then
the scale, and then add a bunch of
different things. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Easy to do. Exactly. Yeah, you could go crazy. So let me just make sure I'm drawing both of them the same way. But now I can actually put the scale in the right place, right? Like, if I want to just scale this one, for example, right? I can do that within the push and pop. Sorry, that's not what I want. I want to scale this by 0.5 or something. See? So I can selectively do part of this. So sorry, let me go back to what it was before. And then let me just go back to the outside of the matrix, right? So I put it on top first, but it doesn't matter. I can put it on the bottom. Right? So what will this give me? I just put it back on the bottom. Exactly. Yeah, because it's not part of the push and pop. So the push and pop is giving you a local coordinate system. So for your text adventure, I love it. It's all about the text adventure. You can draw your back scene in this like XY global thing, right? Then you can say, I want to draw the character. So I translate or rotate or whatever you need to do. Go to that local place, make the drawing, pop the matrix. Right? And then after you pop it, you can go back and draw trees and whatever in your global coordinate system. That's kind of the advantage. The other advantage of this is now you can rotate or translate based on kind of mouse or whatever inputs, right? So like for example, like you can let's say do instead of rotate this guy, what do you guys want to do? Like, mouse X is probably not going to be, well, it might do it actually. I mean, the right way to do it is to map it to pi, basically pi 0 to pi. But map X will probably do it too because it's, it's just a reasonable, you see that? So it just keeps drawing on top of it. You see that? Dude, we created art! Right? Oh, this is mesmerizing. Yeah, so knock yourself out. You can do... Yeah, actually. Okay. You can do translate that way too, right? You can add a mouse XY something. I think it's probably more important, more interesting to do some sort of thing that's based on both. You know, you can do things like this, right? So it's not just mouse X, but it's actually based on wherever you move, you know. You can add randomality, like for example, you can do like plus random, oh, I don't know, let's say 200 or something like that. So one step at a time, but I can probably do both of these. You can multiply instead of add. That will give you different things. You know, this is like, whoa! You know? So based on what you specify, you can make that dependent on mouse too, right? You can make it depend on mouse and be random. Like, there's so much you can do. Just, you know. So I definitely encourage you in your text adventure to just knock yourself out. Try to see what you can do. Because even when their mouse is there, you can do a lot of stuff. And then when they click, you can do some other thing, like transition to the next level or something like that. Right? Any questions about this stuff? Push and pop and drawing cool stuff. You know, use random. Huh? Yeah, it's like you have to push and then you gotta stay there and then you lock. You know, and pop, sorry. Okay. yeah, so knock yourself out. And anybody confused about push and pop at all? Or? But I said why. The reason is you want to do like two different coordinate systems. Like, so for example, in your text adventure, you have the global speed that you want to push stuff at. Like, I want a tree, you know, 800, 400. I want a sun over here. Well, you don't want to put that in the push and pop, because the push and pop will be like, you know, draw my character here. Because when I draw my character there, I can indicate like my basketball is just minus 200, you know. Like the basketball is easy to reference based on where the character is, but the basketball is not easy to reference based on the global, you know, corner, right? So basically, every time you draw like a local thing and everything that's associated with it, it's much better code to just do a push and then go to that local place. I mean, translate seems like, oh, it's no problem, I can just calculate everything. But most of the time you're not, you know, like, what if you're drawing a, like a solar system, or, you know, like, there's complicated things going on, and the rotation, and how do I keep track of all that? Well, the easy way is you just do the push, and don't have to worry about anything else, because you know all your rotations are going to be correct. And then you draw everything based on local, and then you pop afterwards, and then there'll be like two different systems for drawing. That's kind of the reason. Yeah. Okay, so yeah, we could do the solar system thing. I think I'm just gonna show the code. I don't know if I wanna draw every piece of there. So let me put the solar system code out here. And then I again encourage you guys to, so I put the solar system code there, but again, also again, encourage you guys to just play around with it and, you know, or write your own kind of solar system code. Okay, we can get rid of this. So this is a little bit more, does everybody have it by any chance? I'll wait till you guys have it. It's on the Slack. Actually, I already went in there and changed some things, so maybe I should change it back. I forgot what I changed. Oh, I changed that for sure. That might have been it. So when you run this code, it just rotates around the sun. Okay, gonna step through what each one of these guys mean. I also changed n equals 5. I think it used to be n equals 4. It's fine. So this N is actually the number of guys rotating around that center.
So the center is easy. It's just a circle in the center. There's nothing to draw, right? The question is just like, how do you draw this kind of thing, right? Because if you're working in a system where you have to specify an X, Y, it's more complicated because you got to do like cosine, sine, you know. And you have to do it with this as the center, kind of, right? There's some interesting stuff going on, right? But what this code is going to do, so it's going to keep an array of the thetas, right? So the thetas are kind of like, you know, what the current angle is of each one of these as they rotate. So the current theta is like, you know, so it's like, whatever, 50 and then, you know, 180 and then 360, etc. So that's how you rotate. Diameter is just the size of each of the planets. Distance is just how far you're from the sun. So if it's far, it's just the radius, basically, right? And then the speed is just how fast it's going. Okay. So then you just set it up, and so what you do first, you just initialize all the stuff that you can. So the distance from the sun, basically, what's happening? Can somebody tell me what's going on in this line, maybe? So remember, distance is kind of the radius of these guys. Can anybody tell me what that line is doing?
It's keeping them within a specific radius, but each one is a different line, or?
Yeah. So the I plus 32, it means for every subsequent one, make me a farther one away. So first, it's making one at 64. That's the one that's close by, this guy. And then it's making the next one, the next one, the next one. You see what I'm saying? So they specify the 6432 based on the size of this canvas. So the, what's the, where's the last one?
In the farther one?
The farthest one, yeah.
So it's only a little
small. 32. Exactly. 4 times 32 plus 64. That's the farthest one. So that's this guy. That's how far it is from the sun.
It starts off at 64.
Yeah. Everybody understand that part of the for loop? Yeah. Okay. And then the diameter right now, it's just they're all set to be the same. I'm actually gonna add a random element to it so that you can get sort of a little bit of a different size. Okay. So. Well, that's probably not enough, is it? So maybe 20 is probably too much. 15, let's say. Yeah, there's a little bit of enough of a random. So I just added a little bit of randomness so that some planets are bigger and some planets are smaller. But
each time you run it, it's different. They're different.
Yeah. Yeah. Because random just initializes it differently every time. Everybody just said random, by the way? Or kind of. Yeah. Do you ever understand random? It's fine. Okay. It's just saying you're giving a random number between 0 and 24.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, 0 and 15.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can, those numbers can be anything. It could be negative, too. Right? Okay. So that's the diameter of these circles, right? And then the speed, again, is just the how fast it's going around, right? So right now, again, it's just initialized to be some random number. And this number has to be small. Do you know why? Do you guys know why this number has to be small?
Because
it's always big. But why is it small? Like, why is it a really small number?
Because of that, you wouldn't be able to see it go around because it's so fast.
Right, because it's adding to the speed every time. So if it's big, it's going to go really fast. So it's literally just adding a little bit at a time. That's why it's small.
If it's fast, will you see like it will look like a thin line around each like rings around it, or will it look?
It'll probably just jump really fast. Like, okay. You know, you might not even be able to see this. See, right now you're already seeing
this. Oh,
it'll
be invisible. It'll be flashing. Okay, it'll be invisible. Like,
it's the same as, remember that walking person? It's the same. The same idea. But play around with it. Like, change it to a number that makes sense to you, and, you know, and see what it does. So, and then it just clears the background, clears the stroke, right? So the key stuff is kind of happening here, okay? So first, you just make sure you do a reasonable fill, and then you draw the, that's just a rectangle around the entire canvas. That's, I mean, I don't know why you need that, actually. You don't really need that. I guess it's just to draw the black background again. So this is just drawing the black background again. Slightly non-black, basically. And then it's going to draw the sun. So everything from here on, you're going to do it in the push-pop matrix, because it's going to do it in the local coordinate system. And so after you push, you're going to go into the center, right?
Oh, it seems so directed, because it is what makes them kind of have like an effect. Because it took it out, and...
Okay, we can see that. Let's see.
And it just kind of carries on with the...
Let's see.
You don't get erased if you don't want to.
Yeah. It's like the background clearing kind of thing.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, it's like a background.
Yeah.
How long is it? Wouldn't it work if we just did background clearing?
I would think so, but we can try it. Let's see. I would think that it does the same thing. It doesn't quite do the same thing, because I guess when you're doing the draw, it takes time for the computer to kind of... You know, it's like kind of part of the...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so this is this is kind of a trick. If you ever want, like, trails and stuff, this is what you always do. I didn't say this before, but when you want, like, stuff like trails and stuff, you just kind of draw stuff. And then on top of it, you draw other stuff. Because it takes time for the computer to figure out to draw something. And then when you draw on top of it, you get this little trail, because it's drawing on it every time. You know, instead of the clearing. The clearing is kind of clear everything and draw just that thing.
So you're kind of playing with the slow process in time.
Yeah, yeah. But basically, whenever you draw something and then you go on top of the draw, you're going to get kind of these trail-like effects, basically, depending on how fast your computer is. The rectangle is kind of like, it's just drawing the background, but by drawing the background, you kind of allow the computer to kind of, you know, here. Yeah, let me. So if you do zero, it doesn't do that anymore, right? So the 40 is basically kind of like how clear... You know, so I guess, I don't know what the maximum, maybe it's 100, so you could do like 80 maybe, so let's see. So now you only get a little bit of this thing, but if you do like 20, you would get a, you know, it's kind of like the alpha, basically.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's like the alpha, which allows you to kind of, what happens when you go on top of it, if you wanted to have really big trails, you make a small alpha so that it can kind of keep the previous frame part still kind of alive a little bit. So let me, I'll write that in the thing that I sent you guys. So alpha for background to control trail blur. So like take advantage of that in your text adventure, right? You can blur anything you want, basically. You just draw the entire thing at some low alpha value, and then it's going to blur stuff as you're drawing on top of it. Any question about that? It's okay. You understand the fill and the draw? Yeah. Okay, so that's just to get this alpha value for you to... blur the background, and then when you're drawing the sun and circle, this is what you're going to do. You're going to push this guy in, you're moving the center, get rid of the stroke, you're going to fill at 255 and draw the sun. So that's the simplest part. After drawing the sun, you're going to go into num number of circles, right? So we have 5 right now. So we're going to draw all 5 using a for loop. And then the way you're going to draw, you're going to call the update function and call the display function. Why do you do that? It's because the update function will use the speed to figure out where it is now, basically.
Oh, there's an update function.
Yeah. So you should kind of structure your code kind of like this, because it will isolate all the... Like right now, the update function is really short, but you can imagine it doing a lot more things as well, right? So right now, it's just going to increment the theta, which is, remember, it's keeping track of this angle, by the speed. And that's why this one has to be small, because if it's too big, it's going to go really fast, right? And it's going to do it for some particular planet. So the zero planet, the first planet, the third planet, the fourth planet, etc., right? So it's going to call this for each planet. So it's going to go to the array and update the new positions based on the speed.
Is void update an actual...
No. You made that up.
Okay, well, how you can void update a specific integer, like you specify the variable.
Yeah. Yeah. So the integer is the index into the array. Everybody understand that part? So the integer that's given here is the index into the array.
It's only specifically.
Yeah.
Well, there is no index.
What did you say?
And then, we're the one that's specifying that it's data is index. Why would it assume that it's
anything else? It's just saying to update each particular planet. So the update function is designed for one planet, basically. I mean, that's the conceptualization that they have. So they you don't have to do it that way. You can say update this array, right? Then you don't need an argument in, you just kind of do everything inside. But in this case, the concept is to update some particular planet. And the way you find that planet is you give the index into the array.
Okay, so it's not just telling me for the index to increase every time you're saying, but that specific planet.
Yeah. So for example, right, like if this index, if you want to change the speed kind of based on the index, you can do that now, right? Like, you can do a random number that's based on the index, basically, right? Like, if index is, index times some number, map that into a number that makes sense, and then add it onto the data. That's it. So that would give you a planet-specific speed, basically, not just random speed.
But
Yeah. What do you mean? You don't want to remove it. You want to remove.
No, I'm saying like, experimentally. If that wasn't there, if theta index plus equals orbital index
is not there, it'll just not move.
Not move, right?
Yeah. But what I'm saying is now, based on the index, you can actually change the speed if you want in this function. You know, like you don't have to go back to the beginning and say, oh, I want to change all my speed at the very beginning, you know? You can just do it procedurally. You can say, like, index times some scalar, and then that's based on, you know, what you think the speed should be, and you map it to a number that makes sense, and you add that on to this data, right? Or multiply, either way. Multiply will be really funky. It'll be, like, super fast and super slow. But if you add, it'll be, like, kind of...
You can do index plus something?
Yeah. No, I'm just saying, like, you can, I mean, there's many ways to do it, but what I just want to say is just that you can now use the index to adjust your speed for some particular planet if you want to. That's all. Yeah. And then display, you're going to do the same idea. So you did the translate to the center, right, to do the sun, right? But then you're going to do this pushing again to do the local rotation. So the first push and pull, push and pop, gets you only to the center here. Then the next push and pop specifies this guy, these individual planets as they're moving around. That seems confusing.
Yeah.
So the first push and pop only gets you to here.
That's all it does. And it drew the sun. Right?
Oh, yeah. In the beginning.
Yeah. But now in the display, you're going to do push and pop, and you're going to rotate based on what each individual planet is. Like, they're all in a different place. So you're basically saying, depending on which planet it is, I'm going to rotate it with this appropriate, because it's an appropriate place, based on the appropriate speed. Do that rotation, move that away from the sun, that's the translate, that's moving it away from the sun, so in the x direction, and then draw my local planet, basically. So, you know, we can go and change things so you can understand what it's like, but...
Is the rotating making it look like the entire thing is turning because it's rotating in x way?
Yeah. So remember, the theta is keeping track of this angle, right?
Yeah.
But that's different from each planet. You see that? Because their speeds are all different. I guess we could print line that, but that's going to be a lot of numbers. So for each planet, you're keeping track of this theta the whole time. That's why you need your array. Because there's a theta for each planet. Yeah. And they're all different at any current time. And so that's why you need to push and pop for each planet, because they're all rotating differently. So first we go to the center, because everybody is going to start out in the center. Then we're going to rotate it based on what your current data is. And the way you get that data is you update it with speed every time. Right? And the speeds are different for each planet. And after you update that, you're going to translate it over. You're still going to translate because you're still in the center, right? Then you're going to translate somewhere. But this translation, what happens if, like, for example, switch these two numbers? Here, I'll show you. Because if you understand what this is going to do, you understand basically the thing. Nothing happened, right? Because it doesn't matter which way you're going. I could have translated it up here, I could have translated it down there. All that matters is that I'm away from the center. You understand that part? It just changes where I start, basically. But it doesn't matter where I am. Yeah. In fact, I could have put two different numbers here if I wanted to. No, but do you understand that? Yeah. Okay, I think it's confusing. Okay. So let me say it again. So basically everything up there was understandable, right? You just go to the center and draw the circle. That's all that happens in the first one. The next part says, I want to push and pop because I want to have different angles for each individual planet, right? Instead of doing like sine, cosine, and like figure out exactly what you do, the elegant and cool way is just to rotate each planet by the theta that they should be at. So what you do is you just keep track of the theta for each planet, right? You have a different theta for each one of your planet. You update your theta and the speed. So it's gonna update the data and the speed. And then after you do that, you're just gonna, so it's still centered, right? So you're just gonna move it somewhere. Here, wherever you want. Right? So I just pick like one. So it'll be like up here, right? Once I'm down there, I'm gonna draw the circle at that theta. But that theta will keep changing because the speed will update it. You'll keep adding on to the speed. Right? And the distances are, remember, we designed them to be different, right? Remember the distances right here? We designed them to be different. That's why you have different departure from the center. Because they're all in their own local coordinate system. So for one of them, it's like, you know, rotate by theta, then go up here. The other one is like rotate by theta, go down over there, you know? So they're all, at any particular moment, they're all at different places.
Yeah, you used to it at least? Yeah. It's a little bit subtle. But basically, whenever you want to do like rotations, you're probably going to do some sort of like push-pop kind of thing. You just have to figure out like how to best express this. In this case, the best way to kind of express it is like, while each one of these circles have their own individual theta, just going to rotate it by that particular theta and draw. Yeah. Have you guys played with some of these things? You know, like you change the speed. You can change the speed based on where you are, right? So I guess I can try to do one. But let's see. So you can do map I, which is going to be from 0 to num, right? And you can map that from 0 to 0.04, something like that, right? I'm not sure if this works, but I'm just going to try. You see that? So when I did it that way, did anybody see what I did? So, sorry, that was really fast, but... So, what I did is that I said, well, what if I just say something like, the farther I am from the sun, the faster I move. That's what all it was. So then I said I map I, which is something that I have over control of, like which particular planet, right? The bigger this number is, the farther away I am because of this other number, right? Then I say I map that, usually it's going from 0 to num. I'm going to map it to some kind of value between these so that the ones that are close by, that's probably not going to be enough. The ones that are close by, I don't want to move as much. The ones that are farther away, I'm going to move really far. Really fast.
So that one
that's
closest, it's moving, but it's just moving
still. No, that one's not moving, it's zero. Okay. Sorry. Yeah, let me... should do it 0.1 or something. Or 0.1 something. Yes. Like that. You know, but of course it doesn't look so random anymore. Yeah. And of course you could do some combination of that, right? You could do a random that's added to this, right? Like so like I don't like this, you know, because it's too obvious what it's doing. So what I can do is this, right? Not sure if that's... Actually, I should go from 0 to, like, I don't know, 3, you know, and go, like, 3 here. I mean, I'm just making this up. I have no idea. Like, basically, I say I want to have some randomness to it, but I want the ones that are close by to be a little bit slower, you know, kind of thing. Sorry, what happened? Probably too fast. I think I want to do something like that and that, something like that. So these are, you just have to kind of, that's still too fast. Let's try that. So I'm kind of just tweaking, I don't know, I'm just tweaking like the balance between which part of it is random and which one is like the speed being farther away going farther, faster, you know. So you can tweak this number however you want, but when you add up the two numbers, then you get this thing that's part of it based on how far it is, how far is away, part of it is based on just randomness, for example. Any questions on the push and pop? Does this kind of make sense? questions? So, the clear thing is that you got to keep track of all the positions at any of each of your planets. You got to keep track of their radius. You got to keep track of how far they're away from the sun, because those are the ones that are different for each planet. And then once you know, and the speed, and once you know that these are things that you need to keep track of, then you do the setup for the particular ones that you can change right now. And then in the draw, you change the theta, because the theta in the update is going to reflect how fast you're going. And the speed will be set ahead of time. So all these guys are kind of set ahead of time, because the diameter is not going to change of these planets. Distance from the planet is not going to change. And the speed won't change for us particularly. But the theta will be changing throughout the draw. So the theta is the only one that's actually being updated over the draw. And it's using the theta to actually do the right push and pull in the display to actually show where the planet is at any particular point. Cool? Wow, we actually kind of, well, we're not done yet, but everybody good with that? So the last part of it, because we're actually going to get out of six today, is the easiest part. So this, we kind of did the hard stuff already. The last part is just some technical stuff about how you would get access to video, basically. Okay? So again, I think I will just kind of share the code with you. So, manipulate capture, this is where it is. I'm going to share it on the Slack. And again, I think you want to understand the code and be able to change it, basically. Let me make sure there's nothing in the data. Yeah. Nope. Okay, so this is the last part. Everybody got the code? So first of all, you need the video library, right? So if you don't have that, you're going to do sketch import library, add library, and then you're going to look for video, and this is the one that you want. I already installed it, but... So, video library for processing. So, make sure you install that. So, basically, video is like the audio thing that we did. So, I think the audio thing is the only big thing that we did that nobody else did. But I'm sure you can figure it out in the other process. But it's the same kind of format where you need an external library. And then you have to put this... import processing that library, that star. What this means is just, it's just saying the video package from processing, and then everything within that video package. Like, that star just means, like, I want everything in the video package. Like, you could actually also just say video.capture, and then write another one that says video., whatever else that you're using. But if you want everything, you just put that star. Everybody got the code and the library installed? No?
Where do we get the video from now? Excuse
me? Oh no, the video that we're doing is we're capturing our own from the webcam.
Oh.
Yeah. Everybody have a webcam on their computer? I guess it's
not.
Huh? Are you planning on the work? That's okay, you won't get a solid one. You don't
need that tape anymore. Yeah. I'm getting an error about how the resolution 320x240 is not supported.
Oh man. So I also went in there and changed the code already. So you're getting... So I also went in there and changed the code already. So you're getting kind of my version of how things work. Huh? Huh?
Is your webcam set up? Anybody know Mac webcam?
Okay, everybody has something to work with, or? So we're just going to finish and go get out early, okay? So we did a lot of code today, so. But maybe, like, all the code that we did, just think about which one you want to use. Like, if your application is about, if your story is about something, observing yourself or whatever, you know, just think about which part of the code you want to kind of adapt. If you have a solar system in your code, maybe you want to try using the push and pop, right? Okay, so let's just see what this is doing, right? So it's very similar to the audio thing, actually. It's kind of similar in some ways. So you have to declare this capture object, right? So remember, before we had audio or sound file, and we had p-image and all those things. And this is the same idea. It's just an object that's a capture. It's a capture object, right? It's going to set up and... So this is, remember that this thing that we did in the audio, it comes back, right? So it requires, like, this argument. This is actually, sorry, this, not this, like, this is the actual frame that you're working with. Like, when you do the canvas, like, when you do the setup, it's creating, like, this. And... I can tell you tomorrow why it's called this, but basically it's like it's the thing itself. That's why it's called this.
Wow, genius.
This is the canvas. I'll tell you that. Yeah. And the video needs a reference to that because it'll kind of go in and tweak things. Like it needs information from the actual canvas to tweak how it's doing the input output.
Is there any other option besides this? Like, could we change this and anything else? No, right?
There could be, like, you'd be created to, I don't know. You can look that up. So, and then it's just specifying the dimensions, which is the size of your canvas. And then it will just start. You're just calling it. So this is the same look as the audio, you know? Like, it's pretty similar, like, in terms of what it's actually the commands. So what is new here is that you need kind of this this function that is actually telling you to read the video, so to actually get the frames back from your webcam. So you notice that this function is not called anywhere, right? So this is like the kind of tricky part. This is actually object-oriented programming, which we'll go over tomorrow. And same thing that Open Framework does, is that this is a function that you specify that the people above you is going to call. It's a little hard to understand. But somebody up there is going to say, oh, call this capturing event thing now. And then you're just telling, right now, you're not doing anything. You just say, okay, I'll just read the frame and give it back to you, basically. But
what is, like, the opposite of object-oriented?
Procedural?
Oh, that's just, okay,
got it. Yeah, it's actually kind of like processing, but processing is it's funny because processing is a object-oriented language built to do procedural stuff. So, yeah. Or functional programming.
Question. I think I tried calling a function that's outside of the draw, but if you put a function that hits, if you draw something, for example, do y=1, then the object moves that's drawing, if it keeps moving, it's a draw function. So if you put that inside a function that's outside of the draw function, and if you call it, it's still going to draw it, like,
You're calling it from draw, right?
Yeah.
It will.
We're calling it from draw.
Yeah. If you call it from draw, it'll just do whatever the function does, and then go back to draw.
Yeah, but I'm trying to just not creating a line. It just doesn't create a movement.
Well, you
have
to show me. Maybe after class, show me.
Yeah.
So. But the thing here is that this is a function that you've never seen before because it's something that's never called. Like, you yourself do not call this. And basically, we're going to learn tomorrow about object-oriented programming. And in object-oriented programming, you have to specify certain functions that other people call you invoke. That's kind of the key. So in other words, someone will tell you that, it's like this, right? If you're a car, you better be able to turn. So therefore, if you're a car, you have to have a function that does turning. That's the same idea as this. It's like, if you're a video, you better be able to do, like, capturing events. You know, I'm just kind of making it up, but, you know. So that's why you have to implement this function. But for us, it's very simple right now. It's just like, I'm just going to give you the actual thing that I'm reading out for now.
Would this same one be done for playing a video, not capturing it?
No. Playing video is different. Okay. Yeah, playing video is, you just play it. Okay. Yeah. It's a different package. I haven't read into the documentation right now. I mean, you know, but we can look into it if you're interested in video. But this one is only just capturing webcam for now. Okay? But we can sit down and look into just video displays later too. Right. Okay, so that's what that function is. So the key here is the following. So you notice, like, the actual thing I'm doing is really simple. Like, it's like literally that's it, right? So I'm just setting up the background, right? Just to make sure it's white in the back. And then the tint function is basically giving you that glow of the picture. So if you don't use it, right, you're just gonna get the actual you're seeing my big face. Yeah. So I had to change the code so that it moves kind of in both directions. It was only doing one direction at once, but and then it's also basically what's happening is I'm putting in the sensor, doing image flow sensor. Image flow sensor is the same idea as the rectangle flow sensor, where I'm displaying in the middle. Because if I do it then I can rotate appropriately, right? Because now I can rotate around the center instead of, you know, somewhere out there. So I translate and then rotate above, in like within the center coordinate. And then I just basically added the mouse X into there instead of like, you know, the pi over 4, whatever. So that it's actually when you're changing the mouse, it just changes this image where you are, right, in the X direction. And then the image basically just says to display it. So let me, okay, so most of you are probably not going to do all this crazy stuff. So let me just tell you. So we can comment this stuff out, right? So if you wanted to just do the video, display it. You see what I'm saying? So all the other stuff was just creative coding. Whoa. Cool.
But you're going to have to place it, right? Because the image video is
huh? Huh?
You have to place it, the image, that's why there's image video 00.
Yeah, you do actually have to do that still.
You have to do that, right?
Yeah, here. So you notice this code is really simple, right? The only thing that I'm putting right now, I commented everything else that was not like absolutely necessary so that you can see what's going on. But basically, you just need to create a video based on capture. So this is the webcam capture, not the video from file kind of video, okay? And then you're going to start it. So this is kind of like your audio thing where you just play it. When it starts, that means it's going to be reading stuff all the time. Basically, when you start, it calls the capture events, basically. That's really what happens. And when you call it, and when the guy upstairs calls the capture event, it gets this read, right? And it, when you call the read, basically video gets the actual thing from the webcam. And so now video is a data structure that has the information of the webcam in it, like in a second-by-second nature. Depending on frame rate. So basically, the higher the frame rate, the more the capture event gets called. So, like, I think that depends on your computer and stuff like that. But right now, it's probably capturing all the time, you know, whatever, 50, 60, 70 frames a second or whatever. And then it's putting that information in the video already. So that's why when you, you don't need the background actually, because you're just going to call image. But when you call your image, putting out a 00, it's just using the information in the video and putting it back out. Now, I think what you guys need to do, if you want to use this information, is obviously you can do this translation and whatever stuff, but you know, it's very, like, that's a very simple thing. You guys can all do this now, because you know how to do like translations and rotations and whatever. But for those of you who are interested, you can actually go into the video and draw stuff there. And that's what you do, like update pixel and stuff like that. So I can kind of, you know, I have some code to do that. If you guys are interested, just talk to me. But basically in those kind of things, you have to go inside, draw whatever you need to draw. Like for example, if you're doing computer vision, you can call the computer vision to find a face on this. Whoa. Okay, you can find a, oh, that's my face. and then you can find that face, and then you have to go into the, basically go into the actual video, get the pixels from the video, draw the rectangle in the video, then update pixel. Right? I can, are people interested in that, or just am I just talking like shit? You're interested? Okay, I'll show you real fast. I can show you kind of briefly. I don't know if this code is working right now, but let's see. Tutorial. tutorial workshop. Let me see. Might be no. Well, it's in my sorry. It's in my fall project, Evo Robots. Evo Robots. Okay, this code is not going to make sense to you, but I just wanted to kind of sort of briefly point out. So, like, real code would look something like this, right? You're using OpenCV, you know. Okay, this, you guys don't have to copy any of this. I'm just showing you some code that you would have for a project, okay? So you would have things like serial port or like Arduino. So this would connect to Arduino. This is kind of part of the thing that does my lab thing, basically. And then you notice the video. So I'm using the video to actually get that, right? So inside I have the call. You know, this is the serial port stuff. You know, and then this is the OpenCV, which does the face detection, right? So, and then I'm going to load image, use video as that. And you notice, this is what I was trying to say. You get a face from your OpenCV, which is the computer vision, and then you basically draw this thing onto the video, basically, here, basically, right? So you low. So basically, you do the low pixel. I can give you like a clean version of this instead of this thing.
So but it takes the video and turns it into an array of pixels for that.
Yeah.
In your run, yeah.
I don't think this works right now because I don't have stuff connected and stuff. You know, I can try, but I don't think this is gonna work. Yeah, there you go. So oh shit, my computer just died. I'm just kidding. Yeah, my serial port's not listed. Okay, but you know, so basically, this is the kind of the code that you would be writing. Basically, you load a pixel, and then within that pixel, basically you find where the face is, and then you make sure the face is in a reasonable place, and then you basically just draw on top of it somewhere. Let's see. No, here. This is the drawing. Because I'm putting that pixel. So the video that pixel will actually be the array of thing that you're looking at. So it's actually like 320 by 640 or whatever it is. So you're saying the location of that particular pixel that I found using this is equal to some color. So the color. So I'm actually drawing like a rectangle on that color, basically. Or at least I'm changing everything within that rectangle to be a certain color, basically. I think what I do is just make it transparent right now. But, you know. But, you know, you do something like that, and then afterwards you do update pixel, and then you image it. That's it. So it's not super hard, but you can do something like that.
So that basically kind of takes the video and manipulates the
colors within it? Yeah. But you don't need to do this if you're not doing computer vision. But if you have a video or you have the face cam that you want to mess around with, like, you know, very simple. It's just like, you know, you go to a certain stage and, like, you see yourself or something, right? And you want to change whatever property. Like, you could draw on top of it, for example. Like, AR, you know? You can just do that. You go in there, low pixel, and then that will give you a matrix that you can go and draw into. And then after you draw into it, you do update pixel, and then, you know, that thing will be on there, whatever you choose. Not too hard. Doable. Yeah. But, yeah, so everybody understand kind of capturing video. So I think we have to go now, but let me just do quickly. You can actually do video, like the actual kind of video like thing. So this is live video. This is basically all what we just did. You do a capture object, and then you initialize the capture object. This is the same thing as what we just did. But you can also do like video that you import. So this is basically this code. So actually, if you do the tutorial on video, it's basically the same thing I told you. This code right here is basically what I copied and changed. You know, like this is kind of like how you change the individual colors. So this is the recorded video stuff. If you're interested in, loading like a movie to show, like when somebody clicks a button, you play like the movie, not the GIF, right? Then that's what you do. You do movie, and then movie equals new movie, and then you pass along this, and you pass along the movie file, and then again, you just play. It's very much like, yeah.
Like video, like image.
Yeah. It's like image.
But it's called
and audio. Yeah. So it should be straightforward. If you just, as long as you believe that you have a reason to do it, just, you know, you could do a small clip, and then, you know, and you can say when somebody clicks on something, you do something, you know. You can pick. In fact, if you don't want to go in there and mess with the individual pixel values, you can just do something that we did before, which is like changing the, you know, way we display it, like the tint, right? The tint is the easiest, because you can just change the tint of that image, you know, things like that. So this is all here. If you guys don't understand anything, so you can actually, instead of do play, you can just do loop. And that will like keep playing it over and over. That's probably going to be what you want to do most of the time. And then I guess the only thing is you have to do the same thing that I told you about. This function right here. This is the only tricky part. And then we're done after this. Remember that thing when we do capture event? You have to do the same thing in movie event. It's weird, right? Like you're not using this function. Somebody upstairs is using this function. So you still have to write this, basically. That's the difference between the movie stuff and the audio and all that stuff that we did before. Yeah, and I'll try to get you guys to understand why that is tomorrow, because it's kind of related to the object-oriented stuff. Cool, we're done! Yay! Nice!